Well, I had on my heart this morning to talk about why we need a Savior. Why we need a Savior. Now, don't check out. You say, well, I know that. Don't check out. Let's go to Romans 3:19. Romans 3:19. It says, obviously, this is the NLT, obviously the law applies to those to whom it was given. For its purpose is to keep people from having excuses and to show the entire world is guilty before God, for no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. Verse 21, but now God has shown us a way to be made right with him, without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. Verse 23, for everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard, yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. Verse 25, for God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life shedding his blood. I didn't coordinate with Shelley with all the songs this morning, but every song was about, you know, what Jesus has done. And especially the last song's talking about the blood of Jesus. And that's what we're going to talk about. You know, why is that significant? I'm not talking specifically about the blood, but that's in his sacrifice. Why? What does that, when you talk about the blood of Jesus, why does that make any difference? Because he died, he shed his blood so that we could be right with him without the shedding of blood. In other words, if he didn't die, if he didn't do that, we don't have any place to be right with God. And we talk about the blood of Jesus. People sometimes don't talk about that a lot. Like we just, well, that seems archaic or gory or whatever. No, it's the truth. It's a sacrifice. In the old covenant, they had to have animal sacrifices continually. But Jesus was the one sacrifice once. He was the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. And because his blood was shed, then we, by believing on what he did, that sacrifice made it possible. That paid for our sin. And when we believe on him, now we can be made right with God. He made the payment, but we have the benefit. I'm going to continue reading. Let's read that again. Verse 25, for God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past, for he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in the present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he makes sinners right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. So let's go back through this. I want to emphasize a few of these verses, and we're just going to go through some of these things this morning. Verse 21, first of all, verse 19 talks about the law, and that, well, we'll just read it. Verse 19, obviously the law applies to those to whom it was given, to the Jewish people, for its purpose is to keep people from having excuses and to show that the entire world is guilty before God. That's why the law was given. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. So in other words, you can't be made right with God by what you do. You don't earn your way to God. It doesn't matter. See, religion, man-made religion, tries to make a code, and there's so many religions. If you do this, then God will accept you by our code. And there's an original law given in the Bible. And the Bible here, it says, that won't save you. You cannot be made right with God through that. But religion all over the world will have code that says, if you do these things, God will accept you or he may not, but you have to do these things. And it's an uncertain thing. And it's about what you have to do to earn your way to God. And what the Bible teaches is not that. It's what God did to make a way for us to be right from Him apart from what we've done. Did you hear me? That means He made the way and paid for us. All we have to do is receive it. In other words, it's a free gift. What's a gift? Something that somebody gives to you. If I'm holding out a gift to you, all you have to do is take it. You're not earning it. If it's a true gift, we're not talking about something, you know, you're walking down the mall and they're saying, we have a free gift for you if you sign up for this and give us your information. See, that's not a free gift. That's a marketing ploy. If you sign up for this raffle, you know, that is a transaction. We will give a $1,000 gift, you know, to somebody that wins in exchange for all your information. And they get 1,000 people, they're paying $1 per people's information, and that's a good business deal, and that's all they're doing. They don't care about you. I'm not knocking anybody that does that. I'm just saying it's not a free gift, right? They want something from you. God did what He did through Jesus apart from us when we couldn't give Him anything. We couldn't do anything. So the law doesn't get us right with God. Verse 21, but now God has shown us us a way to be made right with Him without keeping the requirements of the law. As was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who they are or who we are. Now hold your place, or just we'll come right back to that. But look at Galatians 3:26. It says, for you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. Verse 28, there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. In other words, it doesn't matter who your family is. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter what your connections are. It doesn't matter what your education is. None of that matters in Jesus. It's only believing Jesus that makes us one in Him, that we all come through that gateway into the family of God. You come through what Jesus did. There is no other way to come to God but through Jesus, and it doesn't matter who you are, you still have to come through that gate, and it's Jesus Christ. That's it. There is no other way. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what's politically correct. Who wants to be politically correct and other people thinking you're right and actually be wrong? Well, my friends think I'm right. But if we're all, that just means we're all wrong together. Seriously, if somebody asks you a question, you know, somebody, your teacher asks you a question, you're all like, well, yeah, I think it's this. Well, I think it's that too. You think it's right. You know, the whole class could say, yeah, I think that's right. And the teacher says, wrong. You got everybody to agree with you and everybody thinks you're, you know, you're not disagreeing, but you're wrong. Well, that's, the world is like, well, we don't believe Jesus is the only way. No, that's just too narrow. That's exclusive. But it's the truth. Who cares? I don't want people accepting me or changing what I believe around people if it's wrong. And the Bible teaches us that it's only through Jesus. And we're going to get into some more scripture. So go back to verse Romans 3:22. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes. In other words, everyone comes to God this way, no matter who we are, everybody. In other words, it's free for everybody too. There's no exclusion. This is actually inclusive. You got to go through Jesus, but it doesn't matter who you are. If you go through Jesus, He'll accept you. Doesn't matter what the color of your skin is. Doesn't matter how much education you have. Doesn't matter how much money. Doesn't matter what you've done wrong. If you come to Jesus, you can be made right with Him. That's good news. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. It's just, hey, doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter where you've come from. You need a Savior. Good news is, well, you just believe on what Jesus did, and you're accepted. Now, we're going to get into this some, but one thing I want to say is the reason that we need a Savior as we're getting into this, we got to be careful how we present it to people, because we need a Savior because there's sin in the world, and no person... I'm going to save it. I'm going to read you some more scripture, and then we're going to come back to that thought. Let's read verse 23. For everyone has sinned, and we fall short of God's glorious standard. Everyone has sinned. Yet God in His grace freely makes us right in His sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty for our sins. So everybody falls short of God's glorious standard. Verse 25, for God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed His life, shedding His blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when He held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. For He was looking ahead and including them in what He would do in the present time. God did this to demonstrate His righteousness. For He Himself is fair and just, and He makes sinners right in His sight when they believe in Jesus. So it said in verse 23, for everyone has sinned, we fall short of God's glorious standard, yet in His grace, God in His grace freely makes us right in His sight through Jesus. He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty for our sins. So we need a Savior because of sin, and we're separated from God. Now all the benefits that come from being a Christian through Christ, we got to be careful how we present the gospel. Well, get saved, come to Jesus, He'll heal you. Come to Jesus, all your needs will be met. Those are benefits, but that's not why you need a Savior. And if you're talking to somebody, see, these things fall down at some point depending on who you're talking to. If you're talking to a billionaire and you're saying, hey, and you're not a billionaire, and you're a fraction of a billionaire, and you're like, hey, come to Jesus so you can get your needs met. And He's looking at you going, you know, I have my needs met, and I don't know Jesus. And He may be thinking, and I have a whole lot more money than you do. Well, come be blessed. I am blessed, monetarily. What are you going to say? That's not a motivation for Him. And that's not why He needs to be saved. That is not the gospel. I'm all for it. We believe that God will meet all your needs. You just heard what we read in the offering. Thank God He is the healer. We'll get to that in a second. But you be careful how we're presenting it, because you're making it, God will get you out of your situation, and He will. But you need a Savior regardless, and that qualifies you for God to get you out of your situation. God is not a genie that we go and say, you know, oh, I need this. See, that's what people have come to God a lot like this. They're not laying down their life going, God, I need a Savior. I can't bring anything to You. They're saying, what can I get? And when that changes, when they don't think God, see, if we buy it that it's just what God can do for us, when we don't think it's going right, people will turn on God. They'll be like, well, I thought this was the deal. I thought I was supposed to have X, Y, and Z. God, You're not doing Your part. That's a confused stance. People don't understand. They're coming to God haughty. They don't realize You didn't have anything to stand on when You came to God. You needed a Savior to come to God. And God in His mercy and His grace, God's a good God. And He wants us to have everything we need. And we need to counter the religion in the world that will tell, and people have been told that God, you know, will put sickness on you, or that He wants you to be poor. And there's a place for that, but be careful we don't substitute those benefits from the real reason we need to be born again in the first place, and those things come with salvation. Amen? Healing. Thank God. God's healing power is available to us. And in the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, by his stripes, we are healed. He has made the payment so that we can be well and healthy in our body. That's God's will. And that is part of the gospel. But if your body, you can come up to somebody. See, when somebody is sick, you're telling them, God will heal you. That's good news. They need to be born again. But you come to somebody that is, they're way better shape than you are. They're healthy. They don't have any problems. And you're telling them, God will heal you. God died so that you could be made well. And they're looking at you going, I am well. See, that's not a motivation for them to be born again. All the benefits of God, we just got to be careful we don't make it that it's just all about what people can get from God and set them up for the wrong thing. So in their Christian walk, it's all about them. Because the gospel, we can share the gospel with anybody, anywhere, and it's truth. It doesn't matter what their status is. It doesn't matter what their physical abilities are. It doesn't matter what their connections are. It doesn't matter how much education they have. The gospel is true for every person. Doesn't matter who you're talking to. Jesus went in and out of people of all statuses comfortably and were able to talk to them. He is the Savior. And the gospel is the truth. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what somebody's status is or what our status is. The gospel, everybody needs a Savior. Everybody has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And you don't ever have to be intimidated in the presence of anybody sharing the gospel. I remember one friend of ours pastor friend of ours, great couple. They were sharing at a retreat, and I've heard this story many times, but she was on a plane and talking and sharing Jesus with this person. And this person, I don't know, was a background. She just got an air that this person thought they were somebody and was somebody. And as she was sharing, it was just like trying to push on her just to shut up. And the guy was, I don't think they physically said it. She just thought it, right? Or did they say? Did the person say to her, you don't know who I am? Asked her, do you know who I am? Because she's just sharing the gospel. Or you don't know who I am. It was basically like insinuating, you're telling me this, do you know who I am? And she said intimidation just tried to push on her, and he said the Holy Spirit just inside her said, does he know who he's talking to? That's what it was. It was like, do you know who you're talking to? And the Holy Spirit came up on the inside of her. Does he know who he's talking to? See, you represent Almighty God as a child of God. You are an ambassador for Christ. And the gospel is that you must be born again. Now, God will heal your body. God will meet all of your needs. But if you come to somebody, got all their needs met. They have a healthy body. They have more connections than you. They have more education than you. And you say, well, I can't share the gospel to them. They need Jesus. And so you're not intimidated. You're saying, well, I'm representing the King. It's not about me. It's about him. You need to know the King. And none of that other stuff is going to mean anything if you don't accept him. Because without him, you get the penalty of sin, which is death. Let's look at praise the Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God is helping us. So, let's read through this. We'll read through this. Genesis 2:15, because I got a lot of stuff here, but I'm just trying to go through, show you, or go through together. you know, why we need this. So go back to Genesis, Genesis 2, verse 8. We're not going to read all, you know, the whole thing, but we're just going to read through this this account. Verse 8 says, "The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Verse 15, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.'" Skip down to Genesis 3, verse 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" So Satan, this is Satan in the form of a certain serpent, is lying. They're saying, no, God didn't say that. He's saying, you're not going to die. God may have said that, but you're not going to die. Verse 6, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of it and ate and of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." Verse 9, "Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?' So he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded that you should not eat?' Then the man said, 'The woman you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate.'" So he's blaming his wife. Verse 13, "And the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me and I ate.'" So she's blaming the serpent. Verse 14, "So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field, and on the belly you shall go. You shall eat dust all the days of your life, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed or your offspring and her offspring, and he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel.'" So this is how, we're going to read it in a moment, this is how death entered the world. And so Satan came in the form of the serpent, tempted Eve, said, "God hasn't said, God told him, you can eat of anything. Don't eat this tree." He gave him a free will. Adam and Eve decided they were going to eat. They chose to believe something besides what God said. And so God said that you will die. Now, it wasn't, we are a three-part being. We are a spirit. We have a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and we are a body. He said, you'll die. When they ate it, they didn't fall over dead. So he wasn't talking about just their physical body, you know, instantly, but death entered the world, and they were separated from God spiritually. They died spiritually, and now death started to work in their bodies. But it took hundreds of years for them to die. But death entered the world. And so everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. We are all guilty before God without Jesus. Romans 3, verse 9 says, "We have already shown that all people, whether Jews or Gentiles, are under the power of sin. As the scripture says, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good, not a single one." And we read in Romans 3:23, it says, "For everyone has sinned and we fall short of God's glorious standard. So sin entered the world, every person has sin, and so every person needs a remedy for sin. The penalty for sin is spiritual and physical death. And so every person has sinned, they deserve death. Everybody deserves death. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." The wages, or the payment of sin, is death. But notice, the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So sin, the payment for sin, the wages for sin is death, no matter who you are. Nobody can say, "Well, I opt out. Well, I, do you know who I am?" Doesn't matter who you are. The wages of sin is death, so everybody deserves death, but the free gift of God is eternal life only through Christ. It's a free gift. Let's look at Romans 5, verse 12. It says, When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. So sin came in. Sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Verse 13, yes, people sinned even before the law was given, but it was not counted as sin because there was not yet any law to break. Still, everyone died from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even those who did not disobey an explicit commandment of God as Adam did. Now, Adam is a symbol and a representation of Christ, who was yet to come. But there is a difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we were guilty of many sins. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it, who receive God's gift of righteousness, will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. So sin spread to all men through Adam's sin, but then the gift of God through Jesus Christ, grace and righteousness came. Verse 18, yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners, but because one person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. So God sent Jesus as the payment for us, for our sin, to pay the debt that we owed for sin, because that's the wages of sin is death. So it doesn't matter who you are, everybody was in debt. And the only way that debt could be paid was through Jesus. Through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus paid what we owed. It was free. He came. He didn't do it because of what we did. He did it when we couldn't do anything, when we were helpless. Without Jesus, we are separated from God. Doesn't matter who we are. So we didn't have anything to give when Jesus sent his son. Romans 5:8 says, "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us when we were still sinners." In other words, we didn't earn anything from God. We didn't do it ourselves. God sent Jesus when we were helpless. See, religion, man-made religion, would tell you this is what you have to do to earn your way with God, to God. What the Bible tells us, what God tells us, is he sent his son to rescue us when we could do nothing for ourselves. In other words, it's all what Jesus did and us receiving that, not what we can do to earn. Romans 5:18 says, "Therefore, as through one Well, we read that one. I'm gonna move on. Colossians 1 verse 13 says, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." Through His blood, we get rescued from the powers of darkness, or delivered. John 3:17 says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." So He sent Jesus to pay what we couldn't pay, when we owed. And so we receive salvation or eternal life. So what Jesus did for us, the way we receive it then, sin came into the world. We all sinned. We all are deserving of death, regardless of who we are. Jesus came to pay for that sin, to pay the debt that we owed, to pay off the wages that we were supposed to get. He made it so we wouldn't get them. The way that we receive that then, see, it's done. It's like, well, what do I do? So it's done. What do I do? When we're sharing this with people, what are you telling them? And first of all, you're saying you need a Savior. And I'm not saying we shove it down people's throats. A lot of this is based on relationship, and you're talking to people. You're not trying to sell any people on anything. You're sharing somebody the good news of, hey, this is truth. You need this. But based on your relationship with people, based on, you know, what they'll receive from you. We know all this is the way it is with everything. You know, if somebody just comes to you off the street and starts telling you something, you're probably a little leery. Like, again, like we're talking about the mall, like, what do you want from me? You're not out for my good. You want something from me. You're selling me something. You may act like you like me. You may act like I'm your friend, but you're really trying to, you know, get a rapport with me so that what? You can sell me something. You can con me, whatever. And that's the way most people are going to act. They're, you know, if we're really green and naive, we might be like, oh, this person's really nice. They just like me. But most people are not coming up to us randomly for our good. So you have to understand that that's the way it is in our world. So when we come up, even if we have something good, people are still like, whoa. Most people in America, 100%. In most places. You'd be like, so we have to understand that. We have to, when we're talking to people, it doesn't matter that you have the best product in the world. Doesn't matter that you, in this case, that you are communicating life itself. It doesn't matter. It's what will people receive from you. That's it. So how do we receive? We receive salvation or eternal life, Jesus' payment for our sins, through faith, through believing what He did. That is, we believe with our heart what Jesus Christ has done for us. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, "If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved." I'm going to read that part again. If you openly declare, if you confess, the other versions say, that Jesus is Lord, that He is God, that He is the Lord, and what? Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10, "For it is by believing in your heart that God made, that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved." It's so simple. That's how we receive Jesus. That's how we receive that payment, is by acknowledging He's Lord and by believing that God raised Him from the dead. Why did He raise Him from the dead? For our justification, the Bible says. That means for us to be made right. Romans 10, verse 13 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. In other words, God's not excluding people. What's the gateway? We call on Him. There's nothing else. There's no steps that we have to go. Oh, well, some people will be like, well, I got to go get my life right with God. You know, I just got to get my life cleaned up. And then, you know, then I can come to God. That's the whole reason Jesus came. That's like saying, I got to get cleaned up so I can go take a shower. Why are you taking a shower? So you can get cleaned up. Well, I just don't feel clean enough to take a shower. If somebody's saying that, you're like, what? Okay. Have you not eaten? Have you eaten the wrong thing? That doesn't make any sense, but that's how religion has brainwashed us. If people think that with quote-unquote coming to church, which we are the church, people are the church, but we gather together as a church, people are like, I'm not holy enough. I got to get this set in my life before I come to gather with other people. That's backwards. The reason you come together, the reason you come before Jesus is because we do want We want to live like him. So you gather together, you come before him and say, Jesus, I need a Savior, and he'll meet us right where we are. Aren't you glad? It doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter your background, doesn't matter what you've done. It is a free gift that God has made available through Jesus that we come and say, Jesus, I believe that. God, I believe that. I believe that Jesus is Lord. I believe that he rose from the dead. And the Bible says, I'm saved. That's the gate. That's how it happens. You think that's too easy? That's why, because religion has told us you have to jump through all these hoops. But it's that easy. John 3:3 says, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Born again is not a religious term. It is in the Bible. In other words, you can't do anything right enough to be right with God. You've got to be recreated. You've got to be born again. Born again physically? No, spiritually. You got to be made new. That's the only way. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It doesn't matter who it is. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In other words, there's no other way. It's only through him. And when we receive, then, when we believe God, when we receive what Jesus has done, we're made a new creation. We're made right with God. We are at peace with God. That's how we become into where there's turmoil in the world. People, it doesn't matter how much we have. It doesn't matter how healthy we are. There comes a point where this life does not satisfy us spiritually. There is more. It doesn't matter. It doesn't get that people that have appear like they have everything. We'll get to the point where there is something missing because we are a spirit being. We are separated from God. We're created to know God. And it doesn't matter who we are, we want to have that relationship. And when we have that relationship, we have peace with God. We come into right relationship. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he made him who knew no sin, that's Jesus, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, that we might become right with God, that we are able to come before God, that we're able to talk to God, that we're able to walk with God because of what God did in us through Jesus. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. In Romans 8:1, it says, now there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. In other words, we come into Christ, it's based on what he did, not based on what we do. 1 John 5:11 says, "This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have or does not have the Son of God does not have life." And so we have life when we enter into the relationship with Jesus. There is peace there. There is joy there. Yes, there is healing there. All our needs are met in him. Salvation is a big word in the Bible that it means being made whole in every way. Nothing missing. And Jesus is the only way to that. And nobody can earn it. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anybody should boast." It's by grace that we've been saved. Grace of God, that God in his infinite mercy and grace, when we couldn't do anything, he sent Jesus. So all we had to do was say, "Jesus, I believe what you did. You paid the price. I believe that. I enter into it." So everybody needs a Savior. Everybody that we come into contact with. Again, we don't have to push anything on people, but we need to know that the gospel is so simple. Sometimes, you know, when we think, well, I gotta get them to believe this or that, or, you know, what if they come to God and this doesn't happen or this, start with, they need a Savior. Be more concerned with their need than what they think of us, what we are related to them, that we are just sharing what God said in his word and just sharing the simplicity that without Jesus, that we deserve death. With Jesus, we have life and peace. And then like we read in Romans 10, verse 9, it says, "If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For if it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and as by openly declaring your faith that you are saved." It's that simple. It's that simple to relate to people. People say, "Well, how do I know I'm saved? How do I know it? You know, what do I have to do?" You can show them. You can tell them or just show them this verse. You don't have to go through all these verses. Although, depending on the discussion, it's good to be armed. And it's good to have something you could go to. It's good to be able to have discussions with people. But when people say, "Well, how do I receive it?" It's this easy. You don't have to have a bunch of classes on these things. You don't have to know many scriptures. If you knew this one scripture, well, how do I become born again? The Bible says, if you openly declare, if you confess the Lord Jesus, or that Jesus is Lord, that I say he is Lord, and I believe, if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says you will be saved. So what are you giving somebody? Biblical foundation and proof that if you do this, you're saved. Not a feeling. Not your opinion. Don't say, "Well, I believe." Say, "The Bible says." This is what the Bible says. And then you could say, can I pray with you? And what are you going to pray? I'm going to pray just what this said. So we're going to do this together. I don't know everybody's heart, whether you're born again, whether if you've walked away from God. Either way, you come back through the gateway of this. It's not that if you walked away from God that you're not born again, but you're coming back and say, "I declare this." So let's just pray this together. This is how easy it is. And if you haven't prayed this before, pray it right now. With everything the Bible has said, come and say, "God, I believe this." That is how you are saved. Let's pray together. Say, "Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Your word says, if I openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead, I would be saved. So I declare, Jesus is Lord. And I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. I've done what the Bible said, and so I have what the Bible says I have. I am saved. I'm right with you. I am made a new creation in you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.